There's a different system at the moment in terms of, obviously, in terms of the placement of families. The City Council are inundated with people looking for support at the moment. And generally speaking, the City Council are placing people in emergency accommodation as much as they can, where they can get support from organisations such as ourselves. And that would be over a period of time to try to support people to move on. However, there is also a system where we have opened emergency services within the city again. People might remember last year there was the death of the man, Jonathan Corey, just outside the Dáil, which was incredibly sad at the time and I guess raised a lot of concern about the response to homelessness in the capital city. And the minister called a homelessness summit at the time, and there was an agreement that this was an emergency and we needed to provide an emergency response, so night beds were opened. We opened some of those night beds ourselves, and they are really, I suppose, an emergency response on a night-by-night basis. And the difficulty for people in that situation is they don't have certainty if they're going to have a bed again that night in all cases, so they're re-referring back in. So whilst I think it's a very, you're caught in a catch-22 situation because you definitely don't want people sleeping rough, so you provide an emergency response, but the emergency response without a long-term response is always going to leave people in a more institutionalised, potentially cyclical environment where they're going round in circles. And whilst they're doing that and don't have the security of support, even support in an emergency accommodation for 6 months where they can get stabilised, it can, I suppose, reinforce some of the issues that they may already have.
Mm-hmm. And in terms of moving from that night-to-night accommodation to, as you say, a long-term situation, given the demand and given how difficult the housing market is to get into now, either from a private rented accommodation or even from a social housing point of view, what are the chances for people and how long might they see themselves in this night-to-night cycle?
Some of the people that we've been working with and have been in it for a number of months, you know, we've opened the service in December last year and it's still open now in September. So it's not really a cold weather response, it's an emergency response, having been open for 9 months. I think in understanding the system, we have the night-by-night beds. We then have supported temporary accommodation within the city, which would be 6 month beds where people would have access to a key worker on an ongoing basis. They would be able to be in the building during the day. They'd be getting support, have a support plan in place, working on key areas of their life, whether it be an addiction, move on, financial, re-engagement with family, education, all of those things would be addressed in the 6 month stay hostels. Well, maximum of 6 months. As soon as somebody comes through the door, you'd be wanting to try to work with them to move them through and out of homelessness. And that's a system that we're in at the minute. But as you say, the reality is we've got more and more people coming into homelessness with a very saturated social housing market and a very saturated private rented market. We were speaking earlier around the news that students are really struggling to find private rented accommodation. So where we were already struggling around people who've experienced homelessness, if you have students who are also struggling, we have an even more saturated market. So I think from our point of view, we're pleased the government have said that they want to invest more in social housing, and we really urge that that happens quickly. The government have also committed to looking at the mortgage, where people are defaulting on their mortgages, and how we can move around mortgage to rent schemes and things like that. And I think all of the initiatives that are being looked at behind the scenes are positive. We want to make sure that they are pushed through, because certainly at the moment the system is just, it is saturated. And I've been working in homeless services for a really long time, almost 20 years, and I was out over the summer period visiting a range of our services, which range from community-based services to night shelters to supported temporary accommodation to long-term accommodation. And in all of those services, I was hearing stories of frustration from our staff and stories, very, very sad personal stories of people who are using our services. So 20 years working in the environment, I am a very optimistic person and believe it's really important that we're still there to provide those services, but we have to collectively, from a governmental, statutory and voluntary sector provider point of view, keep on focusing on the long-term solutions and providing long-term solutions for people.
And I mean, in your experience, you say you've been working in the area for 20 years. Is this the worst it's ever been? Is it getting worse?
I think when I was out visiting the services, I found it that I felt it was the worst I'd heard for some time, certainly. And it's frustrating because Nobody wants it to be in this situation. You know, the minister doesn't want to be in this situation. Our statutory funders don't. We don't. It's not that anybody is pleased that we are where we are. We're not. And people, there's been great efforts that have been done to try to alleviate. And we had a fantastic plan in place a few years ago prior to the recession. And obviously the recession hit. People didn't see it coming in the way that it came in terms of people losing homes, people defaulting on their mortgages, people being priced out of the private rented sector. And so it's been like a perfect storm almost. That's been the frustration. It's like what we could have achieved, and now it feels a little bit like we're on the back foot again. But that said, I mean, there have been resources invested, and we do have to like make sure that we're continuing to provide emergency responses so that people aren't in the street. But I think sometimes what we do is we focus on those emergency responses and don't keep the eye on the long-term responses. So we must keep focusing there as well. So, yeah, I think it probably has been the worst that I've seen it for some time.
And do you think that maybe at least that will generate more sympathy? Because maybe people who had never risked being homeless, say people who've defaulted on their mortgages, like those people never thought that that was going to happen. Maybe that's going to make it resonate more with other people who maybe have mortgages, who go, God, we really need to do something about this, because it could happen to anybody. Because we sometimes have a sense of homeless people are other people and it could never happen to us.
Yeah.
But if we have that sense of, well, it could happen to any of us, so we need to do something about it.
Yes, certainly our experience as an organisation is that the people that would support us organisationally, there's been some consistent supporters obviously, but we've had a lot of new people contact us to want to support. And I think you're right, there's so many stories, and obviously we've been sending letters to people around the country to explain about homelessness and the work that we do, and encourage people to support us, because whilst statutory funding contracts, the demand for our service increases, so we do continually need support from people who have got a heart for this client group as well. And certainly the information that we've been getting back is people have been shocked and saddened by the stories that they've heard, the personal experiences, and they begin to see, as you said, that really this could happen to anybody now. And of course, drugs, alcohol, mental health, all of those things remain a feature of homelessness. There's no doubt about that, and we see it every day in our services. But equally, there is this issue of economic homelessness now. People who really are homeless because financially they can't afford to retain the house that they did have or the home that they did have. And so you begin to get a sense that the general public are seeing that that could happen to them.
Mm. And even maybe people who haven't bought houses have, you know, they're not exactly homeless, but they'll never own their own place. So they may feel that sense of, you know, I'll never have that security.
Yeah, I mean, certainly, you know, if you ask people what a home means to them, it largely does mean like security, comfort, somewhere you can lock the door and feel able to be completely yourself. And if you're living in homeless accommodation, you don't have that luxury, you know. So, I think that there's a great deal of sympathy, and there was obviously last winter a great deal of sympathy and an outcry, really, whenever Jonathan passed away in the street, which was just shocking in this day and age and so upsetting for his family. So I think that now all of the focus that we've had recently on the increase of families becoming homeless. Ireland has always been a compassionate society. We've seen great generosity of spirit in Ireland. People have always been considerate to those who have been less fortunate than themselves. And of course, you know, there's been many world crises, and we've seen Ireland as a very small country respond disproportionately in relation to that. And we do see things that are going on outside of Ireland at the moment that are entirely heartbreaking. But certainly our experience has been that the public have been interested in supporting people who are homeless, and can see that on our own doorsteps there is this crisis, I suppose, at the moment, of people finding themselves outside of home and with insecurity, insecurity for children. Like, there's over 1,000 children, well over 1,000 children in emergency accommodation in Dublin at the moment. And there have been stories of families sleeping in cars, just things that you don't expect to hear in Ireland in this day and age. And I think that that really does touch the heart of people around the country.
You had a story as well of a woman who was 9 months pregnant.
Yeah. We, as I was explaining earlier, in the night by night shelter system. I mean, it used to be when women were pregnant, as they got towards the end of their term, maybe 2 to 3 months off their term, they would have been put in longer term temporary accommodation, for want of a better explanation, until their baby was born. And unfortunately, everything, as I said, is so saturated that some women are finding themselves heavily pregnant in the night-by-night system at the moment. We had a situation, when I was visiting the project over the summer, I heard of a story of a woman actually going into labour in the night shelter. So luckily she was in the night shelter. Luckily our staff were able to provide her with support and to get the emergency services there. But that's not an ideal scenario to bring a child into the world by anybody's standards.